Blog Talk Radio.
Joining. I am super duper excited. God has a word on tonight. I mean the fire. Oh my gosh. I'm just excited. I'm so excited. I'm like, okay, Lord, okay, which way from go? You know how you just like a little kid and you got some information and you just can't wait to speak it. You're trying to hold it in, but you can't hold it in. Well, I'm excited about tonight. I really believe that God has a word of encouragement for us. He wants us to understand how precious we are to him. He wants us to know that, just know this. There are so many of us that are going through trials and tribulations. There's so many of us that's going through stuff. And some, I don't know about y'all, so, you know, everybody want to say, oh, just trust the Lord. That's true. You know, give your cares and worry to him because he cares for us. That's true. That's word. That don't change. But we know as humans, we want to do that. We have a desire to do that. We would love to do that. But the truth is that we don't always do that. And I don't know about some of y'all, but it's been some things that have manifested throughout my life. But I could think of now, you know, over the last 12 months that has woke me up in the middle of the night thinking about it, worried about it, threatening about it, and praise God that he wants us to know something tonight. So if you've been looking for a word and you've been praying and asking God for a word, You need some clarity. You need some understanding. You need some direction. You need some hope. You know, you need some hope. Then tonight, I believe that's what you're going to get. So we're going to get started. Let's go straight to the word. I'm going to tell you to hang in there. I'm getting ready to lay the foundation. Just pray. Pray in the spirit. If you got your prayer language, just pray in the spirit. I don't know which direction. I know where we're going, how we're going to get there. I don't know, but it ain't up to me to know. I'm surrendering completely to the Holy Spirit to guide us and get us where we need to be. But I believe that when we get where we're going, oh boy, hallelujah. Anyway, let's just get into the word. I'm going to move to Zechariah, the book of Zechariah. For those of you that don't know, that's going to be in the Old Testament. Chapter 13, verse 9. Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 9. Give people a few minutes to get there. If you are following along in your word, I hope you are. You know, I always tell you, make sure you read the word for yourself. Don't just take it from Coach D. You know, I may be wrong. Make sure you read it for yourself. So Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. And this, I just want you to understand that Zechariah 13, 9 was referring to end time remnant of Israel. And it says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God." Father, I just pray for your guidance on tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. Father God, I submit completely to you, dying completely of self, that your spirit will rise up. And Father God, bring forth a rhema word. Father God, I pray that your word would be like fire. And Father God, that it would penetrate the hearts of your people, Lord. Father God, that it would begin to transform, Father, that it would begin to refine the dross that's in each of us. So, Father, we just thank you. As you move forward, have your way. You are invited in the studio on tonight. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me. In Jesus' name, amen. So we just read from Zechariah 13 and 9, and it was talking about, God was talking about the fire and refining, you know, silver refining and testing gold. And he was speaking all this thing, but guess what? That means nothing to none of us if we don't even understand what refined means. It doesn't mean anything to us if we don't understand how precious metals are, you know, how they're refined, how they're melted down, how they're purified. And so tonight, I believe we're going to break this down. We want to understand it. And you're going to see, you're probably saying, Cozy, what this got to do? What one got to do with the other? It has a lot to do with it. And if you just hang in there, if you just hang in there and hearken diligently, I believe it will all make sense to you. And I believe that it will give you the encouragement that you need and the hope that you need. Because if you're going through, and many of us are, this is what you need. So anyway, let's first of all talk about fire. You know, he spoke about fire in that verse. So we want to talk about the idea of fire and fire's intense heat, right? So we know that fire is used for purification. It's used for refining. Now, I can't get into, when you think about refinery, you think about oil and all that, it's a whole process, man, and it's deep. But that's not the way I'm going to go. I'm going to talk about how fire purifies metals, how it breaks things down, and why is this important to us. So the Bible's version of the word test is used to describe the process that Elohim, God, Yahweh, uses to purify our hearts, because we know that he says in his word that there is no good thing in our heart. So this is what he uses in his word to talk about how he's going to purify our hearts, right? And so we want to understand why fire is important to us. It's an important ingredient for the believer. Now, when we think about the fire consuming, we think about the Holy Ghost fire, right? And I believe the Holy Ghost fire is that fire that does refine. It does come in. It's the Holy Ghost that come in and convict us when we off track. It's the Holy Ghost that ministers to us when we're dialing out. It's the Holy Ghost that leads and guides us, right? So it is. It is coming in, and it's refining us, and it's guiding us, and it's directing us. You know, the context is not a literal fire, but the fire of God that burns in our spirit. It's that Holy Ghost fire. And that's why it's important to us, because we need. You cannot do this walk without it. You cannot do this walk without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, it's not a thing, it's a he. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Trinity. It's the third part of the Trinity. So it's the Spirit of God. And we can't do this walk without it. If you try to do this walk without it, you're going to fail every time. You're going to keep falling. You're going to keep backsliding. You're going to keep, because we can't do it on our own. There's nothing that we could do to change. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, you know what? You just have to change. You could change. But really, it's the God in us as believers that causes the change. He takes us just as we are. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm going to get it right, and I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to stop doing that, and then I'll come to God. But that ain't how God works, because you know what? You'll never come to him, because you're not going to never get it right without him. So you need him in order to fulfill what you're trying to do. And if you don't have him, you can't do it. Amen? So we need his Holy Ghost fire. We need that for this walk. Now, refining fire, we want to talk, I'm just going to take you in the natural for a minute. When you think about this, a refiner's fire, when you think about a refiner, it melts down metal. So we think about metals, you know, gold and silver and platinum and those things. And it does it for the purification purpose. What do you mean, Coach D? When these metals are under a certain amount of heat, excessive heat, now just stay with me. I know it sounds all over the place, but it's going to make sense in a minute. Do you understand that in order to melt these metals, that the temperature has to be like 2,150 degrees. Think about that. You know, we got oven 375, you know, some of us go at 400. And really, when you're cooking something or anything, you don't really go beyond that, and you know that'll burn you. But it's saying that it has to be at 2,150 degrees Fahrenheit in order to melt down this metal, right? And once this metal is melted down, it's then the state of dross. What is dross? Dross is the impurity. It's basically worthless. But that's what, when the metals melted down, that this stuff floats to the top. These impurities float through the top to the top. They're then removed, and then the metal is purified. And when I thought about that, and I really understood this process and why this process is parallel to our life in Christ, because think about the fire that we go through. Think about what you're going through. And think about what you've been through in your life, the things you've been through that haven't been pleasant, the things that you thought was going to kill you, the things that you thought was going to take you out, the things that you thought was going to cause you to lose your mind, the things that you thought was going to give you. I mean, when you think about some of the stuff that we've been through in life, we've been through the fire. And most of the time, we want to always pay our attention to the devil. Oh, the devil is doing this, and the devil is doing that, and the devil is doing this. But what about if it's not the devil? What about if that's God's way of purifying our hearts? What about if that's God's way of getting that worthless grouse that's in us? You know, the spirit of envy, the spirit of hate, the spirit of covetousness, the spirit of idolatry, all these things that we operate in, that those are the things that he has to get up out of us. I don't know about you, but sometimes it takes a fiery situation to cause a person to become humble. When you're going through something, sometimes that's the thing, that very thing that breaks you down. And guess what? I don't know about you, but me as a believer don't always get it right, and sometimes I sway off the path. You know, I should have made a right turn, but I did a U-turn. You know what I'm saying? And something about what I had to go through when I did that U-turn that causes me at some point to get on my knees and cry out to God, Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, I need you. Because as long as we're going through it, as long as things is going great, as long as everything is taken care of, oftentimes God is put on the back burner. That's not the time. We don't acknowledge him. We go on with life, and we're blessed. And we'll say that quick, oh, yeah, I'm blessed and highly favored. But the creator who blessed us, the creator who gave us that favor, gets put on the back burner. Because why? He's not in the forefront of our minds right now because life is going good. Or, oh, no, I can't make it to church. And when I say this, hear me. Because I'm talking to the choir. So when you can't make it to church and your excuse is well, I don't have to go to church. And that's true. Going to church is not going to save you. But going to church will keep you if you're in the right church. It's going to get, if you're in a word-based church that's teaching and preaching the unadulterated word of God, guess what? It can't do nothing but help you. How can something positive hurt you? So if it's teaching the word and there is a community of believers that's assembling together, guess what? We need it. Because we need to be in community. God never called us to isolate ourselves and be loners and use terms like, oh, well, that's just me. I'd rather be by myself. No, he didn't create us. He said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, when we hear that, we think about marriage. But man, woman, human, it's not good for us to be alone. We need a community. We need to assemble. We need to be together. You know, he sent his disciples out in two, so we need that. So it's not good, he said, for us to be alone. So we need to, you know, it would be good for us to find a church. It would be good for us to fellowship. It would be good for us to get the word, amen? So we, you know, when we're going through these things, look, I ain't lost focus, but that's okay. The enemy don't want it to go out. When we're going through these things and we're going through the fire that God is using to purify us and bring out this dross, as we was talking, those things in us that's not pleasing to God, the things in us that's not giving him the glory, that's what the dross is. Now, this is not just a worldly thing that's teaching us about how to purify metal. God uses this in his word. In his word in Proverbs, it speaks about dross. You know, in Proverbs 25:4-5, it speaks about, in the metal rises to the top and is being removed from the metal for its cooling. It talks about dross. It talks about purification. It talks about this thing. So it's not something that's not biblical. It's biblical. He wants to purify us. And we can't, you know, we're running and we're not acknowledging and we're not, you know, then we can't get purified. We want to run from the fire. It's natural. In the natural, we've seen a fire. What are we going to do? We're going to try to put it out. It's human nature to try to put the fire out. It's human nature to try to get away from a fire. But this fire, this purifying fire, this refining fire, we don't need to be running from. We need to go ahead and take the heat. Say, take the heat. We need to take the heat because there's some things that God is trying to remove from us. And there's a purpose to it. Because I don't know about you, but every time I go through a fire, and though it hurts, and though it's uncomfortable, and though it causes pain and suffering, guess what? When I get to the other side, I'm at another level. I'm at another level in him. And guess what? When the next thing come along, I'm a little bit more prepared to be able to take it on. I'm prepared. Why? Because I remember the last time when I went through. And I remember that I went through, and though it was painful, and though I had to go through, but God brought me through. That's the key. He didn't leave me in it. He brought me through. So the next time that next fire comes, not that we want to embrace fire, but when we start understanding why the fire is coming, woo, then it's a whole different thing. When we start understanding what God is doing in this fire, then guess what? We'll just put, as they say, you know, just put on your big boy bras or your big girl panties. Well, I know for you super religious people, I shouldn't have said that, but I'm saying it. We just put it on and we'll roll with it. I know that's easier said than done. But understand the process. Understand that there is a purpose to the process. Understand that God is refining us. And as I was sitting up thinking, and I thought, wow, this is deep when you start understanding what the, you know, that fire is used for purifying. That fire is used for refining. When you think about the process of metals, they even talk about, and I'm not going to get into that because I'm sticking with the metals tonight, but even diamonds go through a pressure. They go through something to become what they are, right? And then I thought, Lord, why do we refer to metals as precious metals? Why do we refer to metals as precious metals? And I had to look it up because I want to know, why do we say that? Because precious metals are metals that are rare and have a high economic value due to various factors. And I could get into inflation and I could get into economics and all that of why metals are called rare. But for a believer, for a Christian, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, then you'll understand why we are those precious metals. And we are because of who we belong to. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2 tells us, you have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from the nation of the earth to be his own special treasure. That saying, we're not common. We're not like everyone else. We've been handpicked by the Most High God. You come to God and you make a decision to give your life over to Christ. You know, I used to say, you just don't want to. But guess what? You didn't choose him. He chose you from the foundation of the earth. He knew who's coming. He knows who's coming to him. He knows who's going to fall away. He knows who's going to stay. He knows all of that. So when we be looking at people and we be talking about, oh, they tripping and they out there, I just can't imagine how they could be tripping like that or how they could be sinning like that. Guess what? Once were you also. Some of us the same thing. We was going through and we was tripping, but we hadn't received the invite yet, or either we didn't accept it. Because this party is for invitation only, and that's word. God chooses us. So if somebody out there and you thinking and you're looking from the outside looking in, and you're thinking that, oh, they just don't got it right, oh, they're not doing this, oh, they're not doing this, the best thing we could do is pray for them, stand in the gap for them, petition the throne of grace for them. Lord, minister to their heart and their mind. Lord, call them unto you, because unless he calls them, they can't answer. Unless he calls them, they can't answer. So that's our job as believers, those of us that responded to the call. Our job is to continue to stand in the gap for those who haven't responded to the call or haven't received the call, but for us to be praying and interceding for them so that they can. So that they could be like us. Again, he said he handpicked us. And we're not common. We're not, you know, we're not like everybody else. We are set apart. And Matthew 5:13 tells us that we are the salt of the earth. That's a commodity. We are the salt of the earth. But what good are we if we lose our flavor? You know, if we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, if we're supposed to be the light that shines in dark places, if we're supposed to add the flavor, but we're not. We're lukewarm. We're being penetrated by darkness. We're doing what we want to do when we get ready to do it, how we want to do it, and then we justify it. Then we done lost our flavor. And he said, if we done lost our flavor, then what good are we? We're good for nothing. We're good for nothing, but he's called us to be something. So don't allow us getting stuck somewhere to be good for nothing when he's called, when who we belong to called us to be something. Amen? Let's go to 2 Peter. Let's go over to 2 Peter. I want to go to chapter 2. I'm reading a lot of scriptures tonight, and which is a little unusual, but I'm reading a lot of scriptures tonight because when God began to reveal this to me, and I actually am attending a fellowship that is on a series, and it has to do with fire. It's the Holy Ghost fire. And I went last, and it's really good, but I'm not going to, that's their message. But the message tonight that God has given Coach D as a result of that message and as a result of some things that I've been going through, and I really kind of, you know, not saying why me, Lord, I don't say why me, but when I'm going through tough times, my question always to me is, Lord, what do I need to learn from this? Father, you know, give me peace. Give me peace. What do I need to learn? And I'm always looking at myself to see, am I out of order? What do I need to get back on track with? What do I need to get right? What do I need to learn from this? But it still doesn't take away the pain of it. It still doesn't take away the hurt of what we go through. But what it does do when you start to understand the process of purification, you now start understanding why you had to go through it. And when we get to a point to begin to understand why we have to go through some of the things we have to go through, it takes us to a different level in Christ. Because when you think about it, and this was made mention, when you think about all the disciples, and this could be scary, this could cause some people running for the hills, but think about how they died. Think about some of the stuff that they endured. Christ suffered, and those who followed him suffered. And guess what? If you're following Christ, you're going to suffer. Now, I'm not saying you might die because you got your head chopped off and nothing like that. Heaven forbid. But you're going to suffer in this life. And that's the truth. Because while we're following Christ, and his word of God says, pick up your call. So when we begin to understand the why, and, you know, people say, I just don't ask why. But when we begin to understand why we're going through what we're going through, then it takes us to a different level in him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So you're a chosen generation. You're set aside. We're supposed to be peculiar. We're not supposed to be common. We're really not supposed to be like everybody else. Everything he's telling us is, you know what? You're getting too much like the world. You're getting too much like this. You want to do it your way. You're driven by your flesh. And guess what? I know how to handle that, says the Lord. Because guess what? I got a process. And it's a process of purification. And it's a process by fire. And I'm going to have to send you through some fire because I need to purify you. I need to take out the dross. I need to get down to the precious metal that you are, the precious gem that you are to me. I need to get back to that. And so if I have to send you through to get those things off that no longer serves you any good, that no longer serves purpose, that's causing you not to be in fellowship with me, because guess what? When we're out of order, when we're doing what we want to do and it don't line up to the word of God, we have a tendency to back away from God. Genesis 3:3 tells the story. Adam was in commune with God. Him and God, for layman terms, was kicking it. They were kicking it. They were and commune with each other. But his decision to be out of order with God immediately, he had never been out of order with God, so what would make him think? You know what I'm saying? Think about that. He never had that experience. So it's not like he had the experience to even know, ooh, I better disappear. I better hide myself. He didn't have, but when he did what he did and sin entered the earth, it was his natural human instinct to hide. Oops, I did something wrong. You know your kids, when your kids do something wrong, what they do? They go hide. Or when they did something wrong, the first thing they do is hide their hands behind their back. That was Adam, and that's us. When we out of order, the first thing we want to do is hide. The first thing we want to do is back away from God. That's what backsliding is about. When we out of order, we are backsliding because we're pushing ourselves away from God. It ain't God removing himself from us, but sin and God can't dwell in the same place. So there is something in us when he created us that will cause us, if we don't repent and get right back in place, that will cause us to back away. We recognize holiness. We know, Adam knew that God is holy, and he knew that he was now operating in a spirit of unholiness. Our Creator. God created all of us. Rather, you know, he created all of us, but not all of us are his children. But all of us are his creation. And there's something inside. I mean, even people that say they don't believe in God, let something happen to them. And what's the first thing they scream? Oh, God, why is that? One of the other things I discovered about fire is a powerful transformer of negative to positive. So it transforms energy. And I thought, man, that's amazing. Well, guess what? Elohim is a transformer. The Holy Spirit is a transformer. It transforms us from the inside out. It burns. It transforms the negative, which we think of the drought, you know, the impurity, all this stuff that's just worthless, that don't mean us any good, that's not glorifying God, that's not going, you know, it's not getting us to where he needs us to be in life. Those are the things that the Holy Spirit begins to burn off. And then the more that we, you know, last week, and I'm bringing this up because I want to give respect where respect is due, or honor where honor is due. The Holy Spirit is not one person, belong to one person. But the man of God was speaking about, again, fire. And one of the things he said, and this is very familiar to me because I am a Californian, and we know that California is known for its wildfires. We know that it happens every year, and we get acres and acres that are burnt down during our California wildfires. So one of the things that the firefighters do is they'll do a controlled fire. And this control fire, and I'm probably not saying it right, but this control fire is set on purpose. And what it does is it's controlled. So they're controlling it, but they're allowing it to burn certain areas. And then it becomes like a barrier. So if that area gets on fire, the area that's already been burnt becomes like a hedge of protection. And that's what God's Holy Spirit, his fire that's in us, the fire that's purifying us, the trials that we go through, the tribulations that we go through, they're a controlled fire. Because guess what? Because then when the next fire comes about, it's not going to burn as bad. Because why? You've already had a controlled fire. God has already placed a controlled fire about you. So now when these sins come, when temptation comes, when tribulation comes, when trials come, you don't just throw in the towel and say, forget it, I ain't serving God no more. Forget it, I'm done with this. We don't do that as believers. When we're going through this, not that it's easy, not that it doesn't cause us to break down, not that it doesn't cause us to cry, not that it doesn't cause us to yell out, help, not that it doesn't cause us to begin to worry and doubt, because it does. But we don't give up. We don't give up. Why? Because our hope is in the Lord. And we're trusting God that we're going through this, but we're trusting. We believe that he's going to bring us through. We believe that he's going to make a way out of no way. And even though he don't do it sometimes when we expect it to happen, but we trust that he's going to do it. We trust that his timing is right. And the only reason we trust that is because of the touchstone. Coach B, what is touchstone? Touchstone is remembering the goodness of God. So when we remember what he brought us through before, then it helps us to get through what we're going through. Because we remember he did it before, and we trust that he'll do it again. Do it feel good? Absolutely not. Do some of us throw temper tantrums and say, you know, we don't say it with our mouths. Ooh, we don't say it with our mouths, but we say it with our actions. You know, when something ain't going our way, or trials come, or tribulation, then we really kind of get a low-key attitude with God. Why did, you know, in our minds, we don't say nothing, but we be thinking in our minds, I don't know why this happened. I mean, what you want me to do, you know? And we going through all that. So now what? Now we got an attitude. So now we ain't praying like we're supposed to pray. Now we ain't praising like we're supposed to pray. Now we doing stuff that we know we ain't got no business doing. We going places we should probably be going, and we doing things that we should not be doing, and all this other kind of stuff because we got this low-key attitude as if he don't know that we have attitude, as if he don't know our very thoughts, as if he don't know our heart. And it never seems to amaze me when people say, well, only God could judge me, and God knows my heart. You're absolutely right. Yes, he knows your heart. He knows there's no good thing in our heart. He knows that. So, yes, he do know our heart. He do know what we're thinking. With Coach D, if God already know what we're thinking and he know our heart, then why we got to pray? Because he needs you to know that you know. He needs you to know. It's your faith. He's not going to just make you do nothing. It's your faith. So you're praying. When you ask for forgiveness, it's a confession. It's a verbal confession. And people don't think that they have to do verbal confession. But, yes, you need to be doing verbal confession, because verbal confession is what brought you unto salvation. Remember, you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. It's a confession and an action, a confession and a belief. So even, you know, that's why we should be asking for God to forgive us. Yes, we know he sent Jesus to forgive us for past, present, and future sins. But it's an acknowledgement. It's not good enough that we know he sent Jesus to forgive us of our sins, but we need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge that we understand that. Do you understand the death that he went through? Do you understand what he's done for you? Do you understand the plan of salvation? Do you understand redemption? Do you understand that? So it's important for us to confess it, for us to speak it. Because guess what? The devil don't read minds, but he does read behavior. And he reads our mouths, the words we speak. And he can play on those things based on what we speak, how we behave. But he can't read our minds. Only God is all-knowing. It's only God is all-knowing. And he knows when that fire is released in your life, God knows exactly. It's a controlled fire. So he knows exactly how long he needs that thing to burn. He knows exactly what areas he needed to burn in. And he knows when he's going to stop it. But he knows the results. He knows, like you thinking, oh, my God, things can't get no worse. Oh, Lord, if they get worse, I'm just going to die. Excuse me, Lord. But we say stuff like that. I can't take another day. Oh, I can't take this. What in the world is going on? But God knows what's going on. And he knows when that fire is finally put out, see, whew, I'm going to give a testimony. I'm going to give this testimony to you that have been following my show, especially over the last 12 months. Know I was going through some things over the last 12 months. Some things. I was going through the fire of purification. I didn't realize at the time that it was purification, but I was going through it. Then the fire stopped, and it wasn't burning no more, and I began to see daylight. The birds were chirping again. The sky was blue. The sun was shining, and Coach D was on her merry way, dancing and singing and giving praises to God. And, oh, life is great. You know, life is great. I'm living life, and just, you know, things are just going great. But how many people know, if you ain't in a storm or just coming out of a storm, you're on your way into a storm. So even though those storms leave, we know that there's more to come. So all is going great, but then, you know, what I think is a blessing, and it is a blessing. So things changed. I got blessed with a contract. And so I'm working this contract, but in working this contract, I'm dealing with a strong personality. And this strong personality is beginning to run me weary. And so now I'm thinking, initially I'm thinking, I know Coach D, you guys, I'm not perfect, but there's Coach D, the woman of God who desires to serve God and be obedient to God, and that my whole life, whatever I do, she get the glory. But then there's Niecy. And I don't know many. Some of y'all may know Niecy. Some of you may not. And I'm not trying to glorify her. But she could come out at times. And so she, I'm talking to her because I'm not her right now, but she has an issue with feeling disrespected. She has an issue with somebody just being rude or you know, any of that kind of stuff. She don't know how to master her emotions, right? She has a big problem mastering her emotions. So this fire I just went through, unbeknownst to me, it was purifying some things. It was purifying the lack of being able to master the emotion. It was purifying the unfiltered, you know, say whatever's on my mind, whatever goes through my head. I didn't realize that God was purifying me, that this protective fire was burning off some stuff, because God knew what the next step was going to be. God knew that as I come out of this, I got to go into something else. And he knew what I needed to go into, to not take Niecy with me, to not take the honoring, to not take the staff, to not take the unmastered emotions, to not take any of that with me. Because if I did, I would be going back into the same wilderness, the same forest fire that I just came out of. And I didn't know then, but I understand now. So guess what? The thing that I'm going through now, I can handle it differently. I'm dealing with it differently. My attitude towards it is different. I'm keeping a positive attitude. I'm seeing God in the midst of it. I see what God is doing. I don't have to ask, Lord, what's this? I see what he's doing. I see that he has me where he has me for a purpose. And he's saying, if you can only be a good steward in this situation, then can I take you to the next? Then can I take you higher? How can you manage this? And if you could be a good steward in managing this situation, then I got some other great situations for you. I got some better things for you. But I can't take you to the next if you're still stuck in the past. I can't take you to the next if you're still consumed with now. I need to take you to the next. But I can't take you to the next if you ain't willing to get rid of the old. I got some new stuff for you. You know, I got new wine, but I can't put this new wine in old bags. Because if I do, it's going to burst. It's going to cuss somebody out. It's going to do something crazy. I can't take that risk. God is trying to take us to the next level. He's trying to open up these doors of opportunity. He's trying to give us his very best. He's trying to do these things, but sometimes we get stuck. We like a mule. You ever seen a mule you're trying to pull and they put their heels in the dirt and they pulling back and you're trying to pull them? That's the way we be with God. God is saying, submit, release, stop running. I want to take you to the next place. I want to take you, now release. Let me get rid of some of this stuff. Let me, allow me to do this controlled fire. Allow me to get these impurities out of you. Allow me to make sure that you don't want to lie, that you don't want to cheat, that you don't want to fornicate, that you don't want to do this, that you don't want to do that. Let me burn this stuff out of you. Let me burn out your iniquity so that I can take you to the next level. Because where I'm getting ready to take you to, you can't be who you used to be. You can't be who you used to be. So he said, be encouraged. This fire you're going through is for your own good. It's for your own benefit. Why? Because you're precious in my sight. You belong to me. And I got your best interest at heart. Be encouraged because I know what's ahead. I know what's around the corner. I know what's at the very top of the stairs. And I need to prepare you. I need to make sure that when you get there, you're going to be strong enough to survive it. I need to know when you get there that you're going to be strong enough to make sure that you do what I need you to do. I need to know when you get there, I could trust you. See, we all are talking about trusting God. But the question really is, can God trust us? Father God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, for the burning fire that come forth, Father, the controlled fire that you bring about, Father God, to begin to purify us, to begin to remove those things in our life that are no good, that they have no use, Father God. So, Father, we just say thank you, Lord. We thank you for this word. We thank you that your word is life, that it's productive, Father. We thank you that you send out your word and you watch over your word to perform it, that it shall not return unto you void. Father God, I thank you that everyone that was under the sound of my voice, Father God, that this word has penetrated their hearts. Lord, I pray that it would be transforming. For those that will listen in later, Father God, I pray that it will be transforming. Father God, I pray that we will get it. Father God, I pray that we will understand. We will understand what the purpose of the fire is, Lord. And Father God, that we will begin to embrace it. That we would begin to embrace it. Father God, with the hope that there are better things to come. So, Lord, I just say thank you. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. And I give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. The heat is on. Hallelujah. I want to thank each of you for tuning in tonight to this show. And I really pray that the message has blessed you. I pray that it has inspired you. I know it's inspired me. I understand now when things are going not quite the way I would desire them to go, but I'm understanding the process. And I just hope that for those of you that's going through, that this has just encouraged you and inspired you to keep on going. Don't lose hope. You're precious to God. He chose you. He chose you, and he knew that you, he knows you could go through this. He knows what's the, we could see all the junk. But when you think about metal, when you think about silver, when you think about gold, when you think about it, think about gold when you bite it. Do it do anything? You've been and broke it too. But think about the strength of it. So just think, if it got all this impurity and all this other stuff in it, once that stuff is removed, look at the precious, this precious metal. Look how precious it is. And God wants us to see, once I get rid of all that junk you got, You know, all this junk that you got from the time you was birthed in this earth until the time we leave, we done picked up stuff. You know, we done got rid of some stuff, but we done picked up way more stuff than we done got rid of. And we done picked up junk. You know, we got a trust issue. Some of us got traumatized childhood. We've had poor, bad, failed relationships. You know, some of us have went through drug addiction. Some has went through other addictions. Some of us have been through sexual addiction. Some of us have been through abuse, domestic violence. We've been through so much stuff. And each time we go through those things leave scars. And if they're not properly processed, thus processing the pain, then guess what? Those scars turn into bitterness, and they turn into anger, and they turn into all kind of things that don't give God the glory. But we even picked up stuff. So God got to step in. We his children. He loves us. He knows what the original state of us it was. It's precious. It's just up under a bunch of junk, a bunch of dross. And he got to get rid of it. He said the pure in heart will see God. And he's trying to purify our hearts. I want to take a couple of minutes as we begin to close. We got just a few more minutes. I want to open up the line. If you're listening in on tonight and you do have a comment or a question or you just want to share, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. Again, I'm just going to give a few minutes to give people opportunity. If you're listening online, unfortunately, you have to be actually in the studio to comment. But for those that are in the studio live, if you have a question or a comment, please dial 1, and we'll take that call. I'm not going to wait a long time. I know I could feel that, you know, sometimes people say, I guarantee you after each show, I always get somebody that say, ooh, I was gonna press 1, but I was nervous. I was going to press 1, but, you know, I was scared. I was going to press 1. But don't you know when you speak, when you give your testimony, you're giving glory to God, and somebody may need to hear what you have to say. Somebody could be on the brink of suicide. Somebody could be on the brink of giving up, and they might need just the word that you're getting ready to speak to get through what they need to get through. Okay, I do have a caller, area code 310. Last 4-3-7-0-2. You are live on Processing the Pain. Hi, my sister.
Hi, my sister. God bless you. Awesomeness.
God bless you.
I'm driving. I don't know if you can hear me well, but awesome message. And I'm reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went through the fire literally when they did not bow. They didn't know what would happen to them. They didn't know that they weren't going to be killed, or they didn't know what would happen, but they kept the faith. They did what God told them to do while they were going through the fire, literally. But when they physically were put in the fire never burnt them. So I can see the analogy of us going through the fire and God cleansing the dross, cleansing us and making us pure, and then actually he showed us through their example that he actually put them in the fire, literally, and it did not burn them. So it shows us that even though we're going through the fire, we will not be burned as long as we hold on to the word of God and continue in faith and believing and knowing that his word, like you said, will not return void. It will accomplish what it was sent out to accomplish. And so it was very encouraging. The message was very encouraging. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for your feedback. And I'm, you know, what people don't realize is when you're ministering what the Holy Spirit has given you and you're ministering the word of God, you're going in by faith. And not because I believe I'm the great eloquent speaker, not because I believe that, you know, anything else other than the fact that I just want to be obedient. If God tells me to do it, I want to do it. And believe me, there are times where I just want to say, no, I don't want to do this. Sometimes I don't even feel worthy to do it. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So one of the things that came to mind as you were sharing this is Luke 6:30, I want to say Luke 6:38. No, that's not it. That's not it. Since you might know, what am I thinking? Not Luke. Basically, I got to find this scripture. I'm going to give it to you guys because I know I got it, and I'm thinking of it, and I'm just, okay, let me see. Basically, and since I still got you off of speaker, you may know what scripture I'm speaking of, and it's the scripture that tells us that we are pressed down on every side. We're going through, but we're not broken. You know, we're not consumed. That scripture came to mind, and then the other thing, you know, came to mind was Moses, you know, with the burning bush. You know, that the bush was totally consumed with fire, and yet it wasn't burned. And we then understood that that's because it was God. Wherever there's God's presence. So if God's presence is in your life and you're going through the fire, you know, then it's God's presence, like you said, that will not allow you to be overtaken by this thing. It won't allow you to be overtaken by the fire. It won't allow the fire to burn you. It won't allow the fire to destroy you.
All right.
Because of his presence. But when we're not in his presence and we go through some stuff, we see the end result of some of it with people that, you know. But when you're in his presence, when you belong in his presence, he's not going to allow this thing to destroy you. Did you think about this?
2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9.
8 through 9. Okay. Let me see. Today. That's it. I'm going to read this scripture for you all, and then we're going to close. But the scripture is 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9, and it says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." And that says it all right there, that when God's presence is with us, when we abide in him and his word abide in us, he said we can ask what we will and it will be given. But I was saying it from a standpoint that we're not going to be destroyed. Yes, we're going to go through some stuff. Yes, things may not be comfortable. Yes, things will hurt. Yes, we might suffer some loss, but we're not going to be destroyed. So that's just a good encouraging scripture to remember. But anyway, again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I'm not going to drag it out any longer. Know that you are loved and appreciated. I look forward to seeing you next Thursday. We are getting into the year. I'm excited. I'm really going to be focusing on getting some guests in here. Wink, wink. I know my sister can hear me. Get some guests in here and let them share as God put on their heart to share. I'm just really excited about 2024 and the direction that God is going to be taking us that's in the pain. So anyway, have a good evening. I look forward to seeing you next week. Good night.